You know, over there, the church at Fort Meade, there's a family comes over there, and here a while back, they'd been on a cruise, and they got their dog out of the kennel, and this was on a Sunday, they got it out of the kennel, but they wanted to come to church, and guess what? They took the dog, brought the dog with them. They called me in advance, said, is it okay? I said, sure, everybody's welcome, including four-legged critters, you know? And so I shared this, that sometimes we don't know who's going to pop through the door on Sundays. And so that dog was better behaved than some people I know that's been in church, you know. And I still remember laughing and looking back, and that dog was just looking at me, smiling and everything like that. But they didn't show up today, and I wish they had, because this illustration I'm going to talk about is about a canine interest story that I read somewhere recently. And it was about a dog named Samson. And Samson was loved for his master to walk him around the neighborhood, but his master had to go to the grocery store, and he walked, but he had the leash in his hand, and he said, go back to mama, talking about his wife, and everything. Well, the dog who was there, Samson, he didn't really pay attention, and the leash got caught in the truck door. And guess who drove off? Poor old Samson was going along with him to the store at 25 miles per hour. Unfortunately, a block down the road, a police officer was in his car and saw what was going on. That poor dog was running along with the truck and sometimes even rolling over. And the policeman turned on his lights and siren and stopped the pickup and said, I think you better see who's running along with you. And he looked and saw the dog was there. Well, he wasn't hurt or anything, but he's not barked lately to ask if he could go for a walk. I guess he'd had enough of that. But you know, the reason for that little illustration, I thought, well, it's very apropos to the sermon today, is for many of us, life can become chaotic and interruptions, which can cause a lot of frustrations, like what happened to poor Samson, the basset hound. You just think about this. How many of y'all had to change your plans just this past week? And it was not really something you wanted to do, but you had no choice in the matter. We all have that happen. Now, my sister always says there's a reason for everything, and I really agree with her on that. I think there is a reason, but, you know, the only difference between us and that dog Samson is we choose our own predicaments. You think about that sometimes. Sometimes we actually stick our foot in the mud puddle ourselves and get ourselves all dirty and blotched up. But and we choose that. And a lot of times, even though routine is the preferred lifestyle for most people, we get out of that life, that routine, and it really bothers a majority of us. It does me. I don't know if you have a morning routine. You get up, you may go in there and maybe make a pot of coffee or tea or whatever it is, and you kind of do that. I don't know if you ever miss that routine. You feel off kilter the rest of the day, don't you? You just feel like, oh, I didn't have my coffee, my tea, or V8 juice. So, you know, that happens to all of us. And even when you worked, some of you worked at everything, you'd go in and you knew exactly what you were going to do. But if there had to be a change in plans, it messed up the whole day for you, didn't it? It really did. Or how many of y'all follow the same, if you go to the store or something, follow the same street every time you go? And if there's a roadblock or there's a traffic jam, you have to have a detour. Oh, my goodness, it just messes the day up. So that is what interruptions a lot of times do. It can mean a change of plans that we may not want to face. It can happen, you know, it could be a home in the home. It can be travel. You know, people traveling a lot of times. If you're flying, sometimes the flight is canceled. Or you have to catch a different connect to a different plane or flight. So, I mean, I know what happens to me when I have to make a connection in an airport. 9 times out of 10, they'll change the gate number. and you have to walk all the way across the airport. I've had that happen, especially Atlanta. It's one of the world's worst airports to have a connection. And you think, oh boy, I bet it's right next door. And you find out it's on the other side. Fortunately, they have trains that take you. But still, yet, that can be a headache, especially if you don't have that much time to make the connection. And I know we've all had that to happen before. So, you know, any regardless of what it is, what about in health-wise? What if the doctor changes your medicine? What happens? Sometimes you may not have the medicine may not treat you too well, correct? It may make you a little nauseated. It may make you a little dizzy. And you're saying, wow, I don't know if I want to take this. Or financial, or, you know, whatever it may be, you know, it can be a change in plans. I finally got my car fixed with that broken rim on it there several days ago, which I was thankful about it. 3 weeks with that. I drove on the donut, but I couldn't leave the city limits of Bartow. I didn't want to have a blowout or anything on the, you'd think 98 or 17, but I didn't want to do that. So when I got that on there, and you know what? I went over here to the Kelly Buick. You know, I got a discount there, believe it or not. So I don't know if I was eating the right food or the stars were lined up or what, but I couldn't believe it. They almost picked me up off the floor when they said, oh, you're getting it cheaper than you normally would have. I don't know what it was. Maybe I was just thinking the right thoughts or something, but maybe the Lord was behind it there. But you know, when there is a break in the tranquility of life, it does cause consternation. Like the customer who was dining in a Chinese restaurant, and of course he received the inevitable fortune cookie, and he broke it open, and you know what it said? Said you will be, there will be a new person in your life today. Oh, he was excited until about 2 hours later. He was in a fender bender and did meet somebody new. You don't want to meet people like that, do you? So that's what happens to sometimes. We think, oh, things are going smoothly. And sometimes you think, things are running too smoothly. What's going to happen next, you know? But hopefully your lives aren't that everyday disaster. There's a disaster a day. Of course, I do know people who live on disasters, and that's sad in that regard. But, you know, perhaps interruptions are sent from God rather than tribulation from torment. In most interruptions, there are blessings to be found regardless of the situation, but never be afraid to slow down some. If it may save your life. You ever think about when you go outside to get in your car to go somewhere, maybe just to Lakeland or wherever it may be, and you forgot something, you have to run back in and get it? Have you ever had it happen? And then you get on the road and you see there's an accident, and if you check the timing of it, if you hadn't gone back in, you might have been in the accident. So things like that happen. So a lot of times you should praise God that God spared you from some of those things that could happen like that. But nothing is more important than to do what God wants us to do. But at the same time, I said to slow down, but don't procrastinate. Don't put things off. Don't delay something out of pure laziness. Now, that's not to be done. But a lot of times we have to just pull the reins in somewhat. If we don't, it could be a problem there. And you know what? I know a lot of times that we may be asked to read something. If you get something in the mail, a letter from some company, if you don't read the details and overlook some by speed reading, you may overlook an important element. And if you put your name on that, it could spell disaster for you. So think about that. But you know, Christ dealt with every type of temptation that we encounter daily. There is clear evidence that Christ was tempted with the hurry up and no interruption attitude also. Remember, there were a lot of demands upon him to perform physical, emotional, and spiritual miracles in addition to the demands of his disciples, family, and friends do. There were no emails or cell phones in those days, of course, and probably they were happier without them, I'm sure. But Christ's itinerary was probably booked well into the future there. There's no doubt about it. Everywhere he went, people demanded something from him. They even chased him to the other side of the lake in this story. That was how popular he was, because they wanted something from him. And they brought the sick on mats to be healed. Christ refused to be in a hurry and wouldn't give in to the intimidation of it all. And that's an important thing to think about. Incidentally, fast-paced living for a Jewish person at that time was considered socially impolite behavior, which was both rare and unusual. Both, you know, people in the Mediterranean region are fairly, today, live a slower pace of life than they do in Northern Europe. And those of us who have Northern European extraction, we may go a little faster, but I think it's because of the climate in some ways. If you're in a warm climate, you're not going to rush like you do, say, if you lived in, say, Vermont or Oslo, Norway. It's going to be a different environment. But if you're living in a southern hemisphere or something, well, let's say this, think a siesta, and that says everything. So you have to, do as the Romans do wherever you are? If not, if you're living in a climate where it's, the weather is, well, about hot like it is here, you just don't go as fast. You don't. If not, you may conk out before it's over with. But this mention of hurriedness is captured in numerous stories of the Bible. What about the parable of the prodigal son? The prodigal son's father, when he saw that boy, ran to meet him. The woman at the well ran back to town to tell of her encounter with Christ. The grieving woman ran from the tomb to the city to inform the apostles about Christ's resurrection. Finally, the apostles, Peter and John, also ran to the tomb. The people in our story today, they literally ran to the other side of the lake to catch up with the Lord who was going by boat. Christ was never seen running or even hurrying. Remember when we got word that Lazarus was sick? And they said, the disciples said, well, we better get over there fast. And he said, well, Lazarus is sleeping. And they said, well, if he's sleeping, then there's no rush. And he said, Lazarus is not sleeping, really. He's dead. But he said, we're going to go anyway. So he took his time. He did it as a lesson to what it means like that. There was nothing they could do anyway, at least in their minds, now that he was gone. But Christ wanted to see that regardless if things move fast or slow, he's there among us regardless of what's going on there. And he did go back there. Ever seen a slow motion Western? Have you ever seen a slow motion Western where the posse was galloping as slow as molasses in January? I haven't, have you? It's amazing no slow motion cowboy movies exist, because the thrill of the chase would be absent. When Christ took a break, what did he do? Christ usually went away to spend time in prayer. And we must also spend time in prayer with God, even if it means turning that sacred and holy telephone off, television, or computer. Do it. Because if you say, well, I'll get to the prayer later or the Bible, it won't happen, because you've already filled in that time slot with whatever, and it's not quality time, whatever it is. Yeah, as soon as you get started praying, if you don't unplug that phone, somebody will call you up and want to tell you about something that's going on in their lives that doesn't amount to a hill of beans. And you're missing out on that quality time with the Lord, or reading in the Bible, or whatever it may be. And the soap opera can put on hold, because you know 10 years later you can pick up where you left off, can't you? It happens. It happens all the time. So it must be remembered that if we are hurried, And you know, and with all the interruptions and all that, worried and stressed out, then are we trusting God? Are we actually trusting God? You know, trust is something we all have to learn to build up. Have you ever been introduced to somebody that wanted to be your friend in 3 minutes? They tell you everything about their lives, and you wonder, what's this gimmick they're pulling on us? You know, most people share their lives in increments, you know, like a chapter in a book, not in the first 2 or 3 minutes you meet them. And you really wonder about that. You just don't trust people to do that. And but in this case, when we're worried and stressed out, why don't we go to God in prayer instead of trying to handle it ourselves? You know, we fret and we fret and we fret about things, and we've got God just a prayer away. And that could do a lot more benefit than sitting there wringing our hands or going on Google and finding out how to solve fret and worry in our lives. God can take care of things. You know, there's an old movie, I haven't seen it in years, but it's called Crocodile Dundee. It's about this fellow from Australia, and he's in New York City, and he's with this woman reporter, and all of a sudden these muggers show up, and one of them pulls out a switchblade knife about 3 inches long or four, and the woman screamed. She was just really just, oh, he's got that knife. And, you know, Crocodile just stood there. Dundee stood there with a smile on his face. And the lady reporter says, just give him your wallet and everything. And the Crocodile Dundee asked, why? Why? And she said, well, he's got a switchblade knife. Can't you see it? And Crocodile said, that's not a knife. And he proceeded to pull a knife out from behind his back. And it was probably about an 18-inch blade on it. And he said, this is a knife. And those muggers saw that big knife, and they took off running. You ought to see, I'm going to try to find that movie and watch it again, because it's a funny movie, enjoyable movie. But it does say a lot about things like that. And Crocodile's favorite phrase in the movie was, no worries. And I tell you, they didn't have any worries about that when those muggers saw that. But people need to take that no-worry attitude and discard the rush-rush mentality which a majority of us have acquired. Now, I'm not saying that you can be free of it immediately. No. All of us have some worry in our lives, and it's healthy, too. It's an emotion. But Crocodile wasn't stressed out by those muggers with switchblade knives or in a hurry to give his wallet, because he trusted in a greater power. His bigger knife. We don't need a bigger weapon, but we can always trust in God, can't we? Think about that. God never abandons us. Even in the worst of things, just think about God. There's stories after stories where people have been in harm's way, and the secret to their survival was they asked God to come to their rescue, and it happened. It happens all the time. When life confronts us with interruptions that amount to little stresses or begins making unrealistic demands, so it needs to be remembered that our greater power source is God, whom we can always trust. Think about that. Think about how people need to trust God. And I'm not just up here just wasting my breath and saying that. It's a fact. You can look it up in the Bible and see how many times people were protected by God, and God sent his angels, the Holy Spirit, whatever it is, God will do so. We need, you know, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. It says saved. Well, saved can also mean physical salvation as well as spiritual. So don't forget, God is just a prayer or call away. When you're in a jam, think about that. Think about that. But again, if you're in a stalled situation, in a traffic jam, just try to start thinking about the many blessings God has given you. And secondly, perhaps what you may have avoided by being in that traffic jam. So you never know. But just remember that these interruptions may be more than just human-induced, perhaps divinely spiritual speed bumps to get us to slow down. get us to slow down. Remember what I told you about that image of a slow motion Western, which we don't know of any. I've never seen one. Maybe we need to be a little bit more in slow motion. It might teach us a few things, and it might help us and keep us around a little longer there. But we need to learn to enjoy life the way our Creator desires for us to live. You know, you hear people talk about the good old days when after church on Sunday, everybody would meet at somebody's house for Sunday dinner, or maybe go on a picnic, slice of watermelon open, just enjoy the day sitting out. Well, right now the weather is so humid, sitting on the front porch, which I do about every night. So if you ever drive by down here, you'll see me sitting out on the front porch. I might even wave at you. There's nothing wrong with that. Some people say, oh, that's a waste of time. I don't think it is. I don't think it is. I call it front porch evangelism, if you want to get right down to it. It does make a little sense like that. But think about God and how God would like for us to focus more upon Him. And how are you going to do it if you're always in the rah-rah mentality, like you're a cheerleader all the time? You need to slow down and allow God to take care of those interruptions. And I guarantee you, you'll function a lot better in life. Slow down. Or as that old television commercial slogan used to say, try it. You'll like it. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, sometimes when we do get ourselves out of sorts and life seems to be running out of control, we just ask that you will reel us back in. And so a lot of times it can't be helped, and that's understandable. But help us, O Lord, daily when we do have various scenarios occur that causes us to speed up. Help us to remember that you are still in control of our lives. Help us, O Lord, and may we have a quality lifestyle this week. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.